is a Sunday morning, November the 1st, 2020. Two more days. We're going to continue on with our teaching, Learning to Flow in the Supernatural. This is going to be very different, so the reason I prayed the way I did was because New Testament worship is coming out of strongholds. Or so Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. We are to renew our mind with the Word of God so that we may know God's will. And when we know God's will, we can get in His will and do His will. Isn't that what flowing in the Spirit is? It could be operating in the gifts of the Spirit and have a hoedown at church, but I think that's just a real, just a little, like on the pinhead of what really walking in the Spirit and flowing in the Spirit is all about. It is a lifestyle. It's not a hoedown every once in a while. Well, we're going to have cup meeting, you know. No, it can be that, but it's not just that. So that's what we're going to look at today. We are continuing today on our trek out of Egypt. Yes, it's about coming out of the control of the flesh via mindsets into the flow of the Spirit, which is self-control. And when it's self-control, it's Spirit control. We're talking about the Spirit, not talking about flesh. It is amazing to me that people that can't even put the fork down want to walk in the power that Jesus walked in. Well, are you willing to go through the wilderness testing that Jesus went through to get there? We want the power turned up, but are we willing to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives to get us there? He is not going to turn the power up on people that can't even control themselves. Understand? God will not give His power to those that cannot even control themselves. When we are proven in an area, then He gives us more responsibility. All right, let's look at the first scripture, James chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Isn't that kind of what it is today? We have got irons and so many fires. It's kind of like the master of all trades. You know, someone that they've got their hands in everything, but they have mastered nothing. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue no man can tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. If the fountain send forth out of the same place sweet water and bitter, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt, water, and fresh. You know, I was thinking about Brother Charles Capps when we first came into the Word of Faith. He was talking about how, you know, he'd say words and somebody's house would burn down, you know, something like that. And so we have to understand that God is not going to loose that kind of power in us if we are going to, you know, do something mighty for God. And the next thing we know, we're cursing somebody on the highway because they cut us off in traffic. Now think about that. You might think, oh, it's nothing. No, it's something. The scripture says it is. Out of your mouth come blessing and cursing. We might pray for someone to receive healing and see it before our eyes, and the next day rail on someone for cutting us off in traffic and curse them for it. Walking in the Spirit is like Jesus before Pontius Pilate. When they were railing on him, hitting him in the face, pulling his beard out, beating the crown of thorns on his head, scourging him. It said he was led like a sheep to the slaughter. See, this kind of control, this kind of Satan, he said, I won't be talking with you much because the prince of this world has no power over me. So we can see here where the devil gets in, right? That's one of the ways he gets in, is what we say. And it seems to be the hardest thing in the world. And I'm going a little bit different direction than I've got down here, but we're going to go with that because it seems to be the hardest thing in the world for Christians to just rest in God. And, you know, over there in Mark, it says the kingdom of God is if a man casts seed in the ground. Then it says he goes to bed and he gets up and the seed is working, but he doesn't know how. And then when the harvest comes forth, then he puts in the sickle and reaps. He gets the manifestation of it. But during that time, he is not exerting any... He's not into methods. He's not into, well, this is the churchy thing to do. This is what the people of faith taught us to do. And Brother Capps himself said, yeah, people get into it. It's no different than praying the rosary. That's just about how much power. If it gets you into angst, it gets you into care, it gets you into unrest, then you're not, you might as well be out there riding an exercise bike or doing a pump, you know. You understand what I'm saying? What the Holy Spirit's saying? It seems to be the hardest thing in the world for the people of God to rest. They just got to be doing something because they've been taught their whole life. You got to do this and you got to do that. This is how we enter the kingdom of God. No, it isn't. Just means and methods. Go church. Go to any church in this town. And you'd probably prove it in 5 minutes. That's why the church has no power for the most part. That's why you don't see people believe in God. You see them going to doctors. You see them consulting all kinds of different areas because they don't seem to be able to connect with God. And so what they do is, and what the way it's become, is they have adapted the ways of the world and say, this is God. See, we don't have any power, so let's be like the world. They have their rock concerts, so we got our rock concerts. We just put a Christian label on it, change the word to say Holy Ghost in there somewhere and this and that. And we just go on with our show with the light shows a-blasting and a-roaring. Everybody clapping their hands. Turn off the lights like a seance. Come on! Isn't that what we do? Isn't that what... From your experience, these big mega churches, when we don't, we hire these consultants to come in to tell us about our demographic, and that way we do these things to get people to come in. Everything but doing what God told us to do. Get off that fat rear and get out there and start taking the gospel. No, we want the fish to come to us. Jump. We want them to jump in our boats. I didn't plan to go this way, y'all. But anyway, the Holy Spirit planned to go this way, and It seems to be the hardest thing in the world for us to take the word in the simplicity as it is. You know why God doesn't tell us to do much? Because he can't even get us to do one thing sometimes right. We get that messed up too. We got our religious mindsets are working there, and we start seeing things the way we've been religiously trained and taught or indoctrinated in school or wherever. That's why the Lord spoke to me about don't be too upset about the leaders that don't discern this time. It's because of mindsets. If I believe God has woken up those, awakened, not I use that word, awakened those that he knew would hear him and run with the message. Even in Jesus' day, he had John the Baptist, you know. And there was a few disciples that believed him. But for the most part, the religious leaders of his day did not discern the church age coming. They were coming out of the old covenant into the new covenant. They didn't believe him. Okay, Galatians. This week the Lord spoke to me something simple but profound. He said, don't be alarmed by what you see or what you're experiencing. Just take your medicine, rest, go to bed, get up. It'll work. Do you trust when you pop that Tylenol, that Motrin, or whatever you're on now? Do you trust that to work? Evidently you do. Do you ever sit and just worry and fret over, I wonder if it's going to kick in, I wonder if it's going to work? Not cutting, taking Motrin or whatever. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying we put faith in these natural means. How much more so in the living God? All right. I got another revelation this week. You know, last week we looked at the book of Galatians, and it's all about walking in the Spirit, not going and getting into fleshy things and diet and different things. A lot of what people experience today, I'm talking about flack from the enemy, is because they're not walking in the Spirit and they think they are. The more you can intune yourself to walking in the Spirit, the less the devil will be able to get at you. Because when there's mixture, there's double-mindedness. Let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. Now, chew on that a while. I go, oh, God. Now, the Lord knows where we're at, and we're coming up higher and higher. But that is the absolute truth. It's like, yeah, he's a shield around us, and he's our protector. But if we're over here and we're doing this, we're flesh and trying to walk in the Spirit, don't work. It don't work. Like I said, we're coming up higher and higher. We're coming out of that trek out of Egypt. We're coming out of the socialistic system, and that's what it is. We've been in socialism all of our lives. I don't know why everybody's so bent out of shape. It's just being elevated, trying to push it to the next level. The purpose of this series is the Lord wants us to come up higher. And when we get to where we truly walk in the Spirit and the mixture has come out of our lives, we will not have the flack that we're going through. Because we give them if we are walking in the Spirit and we step in the flesh, we give the enemy an open invitation to take a shot at us. Even a soldier, a natural soldier, knows that. Don't let your guard down. Stand with your armor on. Have the shield of faith up, not the shield of the flesh, the shield of faith up. Let's read that. right. You cannot whip a demon in the flesh. Verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. People, even if they're getting prayed for or whatever, they are fighting their fight with flesh and blood, and flesh and blood means. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. You're not going to whip a demon with your flesh and your fleshly means. It's not going to happen. I don't care who's taught you, yes, it will. No. Like I said, if somebody's new in the Lord might have grace on them to walk them through till they mature. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Not part of it, all of it, it says, the whole armor, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and have it done all to stand. You know what it does? It doesn't mean that you'll never get an attack. It just means that when you stand up with your shield and you resist the devil, he actually does flee. He don't just keep beating the crap out of you. To where it's just habitual every day, every day, every day, every day. Well, if you're in the flesh, he's got a right to just beat you and beat you and beat you down to the ground. Are you willing to give up your means and methods and things in the flesh that you do to have the power of God show up? Are you? Oh, Lord, where am I going with this? Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I remember years ago, was something that I struggled with for about 9 years. And it seemed like it didn't, no matter what I did, I could not seem to get a leg up on it. And I had this picture in my mind. It was like back when I used to do, you know, the space capsules. And the space capsule would have to come in at a certain angle. If not, they'd bounce off the atmosphere. And it was like, I feel like what I'm doing, I'm hitting the atmosphere and it's just like that all the time. I'm just in a state of, all the time, just driving me crazy. It was so bad, the only way at first that I could even get a handle on it was just go to bed. And I realized the Word of God, it just glides along. Smooth. It does. Devil comes, ping. But if we're over in the flesh and we're walking in the flesh and doing things in the flesh, here comes that agitation all the time. Just beating you and buffeting you about. Is anybody getting this? Well, that came back to me this week. That type of thing. And that's when the Holy Spirit said to me, the more you learn to walk in solely in the Spirit, the devil will not be able to get at you. But if you're trying to hold on to this world and this world, this world and this world, the higher we go, the smoother the ride becomes. Like I said, it doesn't mean you don't have flak, but it just means that when you do a warfare, it's effective. You do resist the devil. You know what resisting the devil is? Don't give in to his means. It says, then he'll flee from you. All right, now Galatians, I think. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Just what I just described. They buffet each other like this. You can't be in two worlds. I'm sorry, you can't. You got to choose. Two masters here. So the flesh is lusting against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You don't come under that. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which we read those last week. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envies, murders, and drunkenness, revelings, and like. So these are areas that we need to, works of the flesh, we need to check up on ourselves. Of the which I tell you before, as I've told you also in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? Your answer. Your manifestation. Everything God says in the Word, it's already yes and amen for you. What's preventing it? Works of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Okay, the Holy Spirit. Out of control means your flesh is in control. In control means your spirit is in control. I realize the trek out of Egypt has a lot of mixture in it, but at the end of the journey, we should be where we need to be. So don't be discouraged at where you are at. The Lord is leading us. See, He's leading us through this journey out of Egypt. This is the area that the Holy Spirit gave me the first part of the week. Monday morning, the Lord gave me this. You may think you don't have a problem with this, but just bear with me. The Holy Spirit knows. He knows why He has chosen to speak to you about these things today. He must deem that you're ready. You might think, I never thought in my life that this would have been the problem or this would have been anything I need to be concerned about, but we'll see. The more in control you become by following the Holy Spirit, the less control the devil has over your life. It's like this. You're walking along and you're cumbered about with these demons, but you start making these adjustments and all of a sudden they start leaving. You're thinking, I'm not suffering like I was. It's not as bad as it was. It's getting better. It's not a matter of stopping this or that, but being able to enjoy your life and having it abundant without excesses. Today's topic is going to be food, unless you hadn't noticed. The enemy is fighting to keep control of your life. The more strongholds that come down, the more free you become. Some of you are focused on your physical body, but not realizing that it's not really about your physical body, but it is a stronghold in your mind. See, the focus, it's like the devil, what we see in our culture. The false flag events of the deep state is to get our focus onto that, and then we don't see what's really going on. We've been doing it for a long time. Well, the devil's the same devil, whether he's doing it like that or doing it in your personal life, okay? All right. From our birth, the beast system has been controlling your life. Your first meal, unless you were breastfed, was formula that was concocted for you by associations that we thought had our best interest at heart. Babies have all kinds of problems on formula. Yeah. Has anyone ever noticed how expensive baby formula is? It's very expensive. How simple God made it, free, right from your mother. But it wasn't culturally correct anymore to do it. The system is all about money, money, money. A love of money is the root to all evil. Steal, kill, destroy. Diet aids, exercise equipment, books, tapes, gym memberships. What do all these aids do? They control you. Walking by the Spirit puts you in control. Diets put food into control. It makes the food behave. The food is righteous and this food is not righteous. The best foods to eat here, these charts. I'm going to do this on television, so I thought I'd get me some good charts that people could see. These are all the righteous foods that we are taught that we are to eat. Everybody get a good look? All right, here are the bad ones. The bad ones. The bestest of all. Pizza, chocolate cake, donuts, bacon, dressing, pie. Okay, the pyramid is the standard. I even ordered a pyramid, but it didn't come in yet. So this is the pyramid. I told you, the three city states, the all-seeing eye that's on your dollar bill, back of the dollar bill. This is the food pyramid that since we were born, I guess, has been, I've about made a decision. I'm not buying any more products that have the food pyramid on it. But anyway, it's telling you, it's controlling your life by telling you, you need to eat this. This is what you need to eat. If you notice the candidates are running right now, the left, Kamala Harris doesn't want us to be, to eat beef. She's, you know, wants us all to be vegetarian. Well, Big Mike, AKA Michelle Obama, she went in and she had all the kids' lunches changed to all this stuff that the kids wouldn't eat, and they were throwing out massive amounts of food because the kids wouldn't touch it. Anything good was off. I mean, who wants celery sticks? You know, white milk. I mean, kids want their chocolate milk. They want their pizza. Peanut butter surprise day. I'm telling you, this is a form of control. I didn't bring my... When I got these, I got this big thing of mask safety, wearing masks, and all this mess. There's another control that's leading up to... See, they keep pushing until they got you in that camp and they are controlling you totally. And they're tracking you with the vaccine they forced you to take. This is the mark of the beast. And Wednesday, I'll bring more on that. But I've been more convinced this week than ever we're right on target. We are in the Battle of Armageddon. And the beast system is being pushed before our eyes. They're even pushing their own, what they call the Great Reset. They're pushing it in Europe right now. See, I told you, Germany's the EU, the head of the EU. They're pushing this Great Reset right now, being pushed. See, the United States was supposed to be on board, see. And they can't do it without the United States. And the United States is going just the opposite direction. God's taking the United States into His will, His plan, giving us a jubilee, His reset. He's breaking us out of the control of the pyramid, okay? Okay. The beast system symbol, the three city states, the new world order that seeks to control every part of your life. It is all Satan's propaganda, and it starts by television, public school, social media, mainly with us as kids. It was probably television, rock music, you know. Diets take away your control, and then the food takes charge. It rules your life. Matthew 6, 24 through 34 talks about the two masters, and it says, take no thought saying, what am I going to eat? Well, how in the world can you do that if all you have on your mind? What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? I can't eat that. Think about that Superman movie. Well, I can't eat beans. I can't eat beans. You know, it's like, that's what diets do. Is it a form of control? Absolutely. It's control. How are we to do this if we can't think about it? We're not supposed to think about it. Under the NOW, New World Order, NWO, sorry, God of this world system, we come under the law of sin and death. Okay, I'm going to look at Psalms 139 right quick. A couple of verses there before I get into the next part of this. Psalms 139:14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. I should count them. They are more in number than the sand. When I wake, I am still with thee. Think about that. How God thinks about you. You're always on his mind. Has that picture tattooed on his hand? Okay. He's a proud parent. God made you and he has made a way for you to walk out your life free. This is walking in the Spirit. All right. I'm going to lay down some guidelines. This is what the Holy Spirit gave me. Now, there is a particular lady that has a diet plan just like this. So, I'll give credit to Gwen Shamblin, because way back, probably in the 90s, the Lord led me to do this. Well, I haven't done it. I hadn't done it. And then I realized I haven't been walking totally where you want to be to walk. I started making adjustments, and I'm seeing difference. When you're hungry, go for the growl, then eat. When you're hungry, God has put a signal in your body to tell you, eat. Your stomach will growl. Eat slower until you begin to feel satisfied. Instead of eating like somebody's going to take it away from you, like a dog. When you begin to feel satisfied, that's when your signal is to stop. Not keep eating until you're so full, you know what I'm saying? Don't just keep saying. And when you're thirsty, it's the same way. We had it drilled into us. And I'm going to tell you, what they say do, you better not do, because it's probably harming you. When you're thirsty, drink. Don't just guzzle and drink just for the sake of guzzling and drinking. When you're thirsty, you feel thirsty, and you get you a drink. In fact, I'm going to get me a drink because I'm thirsty. Right here. God gave these signals to show you how to eat and drink and walk in the freedom of the Spirit. A person that does this will lose all excess body weight and never have a weight problem ever again in their life. It won't happen overnight. But as your body comes into control and in line, a lot of your body functions that have not been acting right will act right because you are walking in the Spirit. And you're walking the way your body was meant to, instead of eating when you're told, eating what you're told, drinking what you're told, the way you're told to do it. Well, we got to eat at 12. Says who? Remember, don't just eat to eat, but wait for the growl. Just these simple steps will make you free. This is kicking the devil out of your life. This was a bombshell to me on Monday morning. I'm going, oh my God, you mean way back there? I walked into a family Christian store back in the 90s. And I've had this happen a couple of times. It's like I'm walking, something just moves in front of me. One time it was buying a suit. I needed to buy a suit because I was going to be speaking somewhere. And it's just like it moved, the rack moved out at me, and there was the very suit I needed to buy right there. And there was a book about living the fasting lifestyle. It wasn't exactly the way down diet, but it was just about this person just ate twice a day instead of putting that third meal in there. But I realized that's God's way. It's controlling yourself. It's walking in balance, like the scripture says, staying out of the works of the flesh. Listening to what He made your wonderfully made body to do. It's so simple. What kind of diet are you on? Well, I eat when I'm hungry. I don't eat when I'm not hungry. If I'm thirsty, I drink. Well, you look great. Yeah, I've lost 100 pounds. I mean, telling you. God has a way. He has made a way for us, complete and total, without the control of the devil. The Lord quickened me to this three major areas that we as Christians should be watchful of. Diet, finances, and love walk. Those are the three biggies. And there's a lot of in-between in that, but I think if you hit those majors, you're probably going to be all right in the others. All right, Luke chapter 4. Are y'all getting it today? Y'all getting this? Mm-hmm. Okay. The Lord's breaking strongholds down, especially when you've been a person that's done diets all your life. And I'm one of them. I did them for 30 years. Exercise regimens and diets. Go on family deals and never could enjoy anything. Everybody enjoying pie and cake and all kinds of things. I'm sitting over there eating my celery sticks. You know what I'm saying? Just make myself suffer. Well, I'm telling you, obedience is better than sacrifice. Walking in the Spirit is better than all the sacrifices that you can make. Well, I can't eat that, and I can't eat that, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. It's like the devil's, he's like a puppet. That's just, it's exactly the way it is. It's exactly what it is. The whole system is like that. Well, some of it's not so bad. Really? Just wait till they pull something on you. Then you'll think, oh yeah, they're in there too, aren't they? All right, Luke 4. I know this may be hard to hear this morning, but it may be the most freeing thing that you've ever heard in your life. We just have to be careful we don't go back to the vomit. The vomit that we've been consuming and listening to and ruling our lives by for a long time, even the church. Luke 4. I'm telling you, and I tell Mark Tater to his face today, coming out of Babylon is more than just the 501c3 bucko. I'm telling you for sure. It is a whole host of stuff that go way beyond that. That 501c3 is going to be taken care of as soon as we're not under the corporation anymore. There won't be any 501c3s. But there's still going to be strongholds and mindsets in people that got to change. I love you, Mark. I definitely never hear that, but still. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he had for hungered. I'd like to go talk to Weight Watchers. I just had that thought. Go talk to Weight Watchers. Go talk to, you know, what? We'd probably all run out of the building screaming. The devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. So Jesus was tested in his diet here. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, the man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power I give thee in the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whatsoever I will, I give it. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Finances. Money, power, fame, glory. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Love. His allegiance. He didn't listen to the devil. He listened to God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. So he resisted the devil, and the devil fled from him. I believe that Jesus was tested in these three areas that I just spoke to you about. 1 John 2, it talks about lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which I believe really are basically these three areas. 1 John 2:15 says, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Isn't that going to be great when the transition happens? We'll just keep on the trucking what we've been doing. We won't have any transitions to make because we got it. We understand. The Lord's brought us, and we've come out. We've done the trek out of Egypt, and we're ready. We're going to help others come out. If you have areas in your life that you just don't seem to get victory over, you've prayed, fasted, confessed, praised, etc., with no lasting results, when your spirit is in control, it brings life. When the flesh is in control, it brings death. Please listen to me today. Whether you have a weight problem or not, we are still encouraged to walk in the Spirit. I believe this is the way God meant for humans to eat, drink. You're sleepy, you sleep. He has put these things in your body, and it shows you what you should do. And you don't need somebody to control you and tell you what you ought to do. All right, the more spirit-controlled you are, the more free you will be, and you will be able to resist the devil, and he will flee. Walking in the Spirit will keep the door closed to the enemy. When he comes knocking, you can send him packing. The world system would say that all your problems are because you are overweight and your vitals are off. I believe that is what is that what is off is actually your spirit walk. You've got a mess in your soul and you're out of control. They've made those things up anyway. I'm thinking, you know, they're giving a whole world blood pressure medicine. It's probably supposed to be higher. It's probably healthy for you, and they're trying to suppress it to keep you sick, keep you coming for more. Oh, they're mad at the president because he has done the first, what do they call it, first? The prescription. First Nations.
Yeah.
It kicks in January 1st where it lowers, the people in the United States have paid more for drugs than any nation in the world. I remember when Amber was working for a gynecologist, I wanted some Retina A. So he gave me a prescription for it. I went to pay for it, it was $100, and I could get it from Canada for $30. So it lowers all prescriptions 50, 60, 70, even 80%. People are talking about my insulin costs $600 a month, and I went today, it was $35. This kicks in the first of the month. And the big pharma, they are so furious at the president, and they're spending mega bucks commercials against him, bashing him for what he's done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see the world system, it's all about money, money, money. Yeah. Sure seems funny in a rich man's world, doesn't it? Okay, let's see where I stopped. Walking in the Spirit, that is walking in control, will eventually cause your weight to drop, but also your body function to line up properly, and a lot of problems that you've experienced will disappear. Obedience is better than sacrifice, right? Yeah. Do you know that avoiding food and starving yourself is just as unrighteous as overeating? When you have body signals that tell you you're hungry, you need to eat. It's your signal telling you your body needs for you to eat instead of starving yourself. Which, just in the natural, you know that when you starve yourself, your body goes into starvation mode, and actually you wouldn't lose any weight anyway. Yeah, it works in the opposite. Because God didn't make us to starve. He made us to eat when we were hungry, drink when we're thirsty. Brother Kenneth Hagin had a good concept. He taught the fasting lifestyle. If his body was craving something, he would just tell his body no. But the thing is, if you're craving something, I kind of differ on that respect. Like if you're craving chocolate, well, have it every meal for a few days and you'll never want to have it again in your whole life. There's nothing wrong if that's what you want, because probably you've been deprived of it in the first place. All right, let's look at 1 Corinthians 6. Paul made this statement. All things are lawful to me. Bacon, cake, candy, cereal, fried chicken, chicken sandwich, chips, cinnamon buns, cookies, donuts, french fries, hamburger with cheese, hot dog, ice cream, onion rings, pastries, trail mix, toaster pastry, soft drinks, salad dressing, fried potatoes, pizza, and pie. Does it mean I can eat it, you know, like a whole pie? No. A slice of pie? Yes. This is 1 Corinthians 6, 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So we're just talking about having power by walking in the Spirit. And God had both raised up the Lord and will always raise us up by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? You don't think he can't tell you how to run your temple? His temple? Now I have a problem, and I hear Christians talking about, oh, it don't matter, your sexual orientation. Oh, yes, it does. The Lord's not going to have you join with a harlot. He's not going to accept a homosexual's lifestyle or an adulterer or a fornicator. He's not going to accept that. See, these are the works of the flesh, you know. It's just the compromised church. They've walked that way so long, you know. They don't know. They just don't know anymore. All right. We're going to get into some juicy stuff here now. I know today it's on the subject of food, but we could apply this to other areas. Any area out of control opens the door for the devil to slap us about. Aren't you tired of that? Under the world system, diagnostic test, doctor's visits, you receive a gold star when you pass the test, or your blood pressure comes into line with what they say it should be. All your blood work is good, which I'm sure it rarely is. It's a merry-go-round. Your blood pressure's high. According to who? The AMA, the B system, leech, never enough. Doesn't no matter what you do, you never meet the standards when you go in. I've watched parents and friends use the system, and they have been like the woman with the issue of blood, spent all they had and rather grew worse. It's all about money, big pharma, vaccines, kill, steal, destroy. You might as well go to a witch. The little song that the little chipmunk sings about the witch doctor, you know, I'm going, You might as well be going to a witch doctor because you really are. They're just in white coats and they ain't got a pot but the broomstick. Galatians 5:20. Kind of like Keith Moore when he was teaching on rebellion. You know, he said, well, we don't do much witchcraft around here, just a little bit. All right, 5:20. Idolatry, witchcraft. I'm looking at the word witchcraft. Strong's witchcraft means medication, pharmacy. Oh, God help us. Walking in the spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Until we work these things out, God cannot turn up the power. It is for our own good that He is taking us on this trek out of Egypt. He says in Revelation, come out of her, my people, do not longer partake of her sins. I don't know which chapter that is in Revelation. Well, I'll find it. Just hold on a minute. Well, this part here, this is chapter 14, verse 7 says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. But there's one that talks about coming out of her, but I'm not seeing it. Maybe I'll find it. Oh, here it is. Well, no, that's not it either. Oh, here it is. This is chapter 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye may not be... ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. The cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come, and one day death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. God sees it that way, whether the people we live around or this culture sees it that way, God does. He sees it that way. All right. God wants us to have a carefree life, and that means that you don't take a care about anything. Walking by the Spirit means to listen to the hidden man of the heart where the Holy Spirit dwells and He leads us and guides us. Yes, and your eating and everything else. With that, turn to 1 Peter 5. Verse 6, it says to humble yourself. You know what it means to humble yourself? It's to say, God, I'm going to go your way, not my own way, which is not even your own way. It's the devil's way. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Do you know He's made you? He knows everything about you. He knows what to tell you what to do in any situation. And that's where He wants us to be. We're living on the inside. From the inside out instead of the outside in. See, that's what's wrong with corporate Christianity today. They're living, they're wanting to walk in the Spirit, but it's all coming from the outside, not the inside. It won't work that way. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished to your brethren that are in the world. We are made in God's image and likeness to be free. The beast system is on a countdown is to ensnare you. Their master, Satan, knows that he has only a short time. But it's too late. God's already intervened. He can't do what he wants to do. That has been thwarted, thank God. But it's biblical. It's in the book of Revelation that he would do so. Why would people be surprised? Well, no, he's just doing it for a short time. We're just getting a reprieve. No, this is for 1,000 years. You want to call that a short time? It's my prayer that the church gets awakened to the days we live in. We're about to step into the millennial reign of Christ. Okay, 1 Timothy 4. He was talking about in the last days. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. I was thinking this morning about someone that I care about very much. And I can't really say much to them. And it grieves me that I can't. And anytime I do say something, it's like they are defensive to the point that they'll defend their wrong idea. And it's grievous to me. I said, do I just ditch them, Lord? Lord said, no, you can't do that. Because there'll be a time they'll see the truth, and then you'll be able, they'll be come to you and say, I'm so sorry. You tried to tell me, didn't you? Yeah, I did. It's not a time to gloat, you know. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Even bacon. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourishing up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. I must be teaching a good doctrine here. But refuse profane and unwise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. I know one of the first things I learned in first grade was, an apple a day keeps a doctor away. Really? An apple a day keeps the doctor away? For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. I want whatever Moses had. He could climb a mountain at 120 and his eyes weren't dim. He could actually see the people down below. That glasses or contacts. This is a faithful saying and worthy of acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. The whole church should be teaching this, not just me. We see this today, this push today, last administration's wife, you know, I told you about Big Mike. The beast wants us to shelter us in like a stockyard so they can control us. That was their objective, the 16 years to destroy America. If she had gotten in office, we'd be in camps right now. Probably most of us would already be dead. If they had been allowed to progress, but God stopped it. They want us sheltered in like stock in a stockyard to be led like sheep to the slaughter. I will get into this deeper on Wednesday night's teaching. I will. It's time to break all control of the beast system off of us and time for us to walk in the Spirit. Okay, one more scripture. 2 Timothy 2. 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive to be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. That's what I'm doing. We've opposed ourselves. Instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge and of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. All right.